Hello, and welcome to Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. Diabetes Dialogue is a monthly podcast hosted by myself, Dr. Natalie Bellini, and Dr. Diana Isaacs, providing a regular news roundup of the latest clinically applicable insights across diabetes and metabolic diseases, with a focus on leveraging technology to improve diabetes care. Produced by HCP Live Endocrinology, the audio version of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, with a video version available only on hcplive.com.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I'm with Natalie Bellini. And today, we want to talk about some really exciting updates in the world of continuous glucose monitoring. So Natalie, can you tell us a little bit about the new Medicare criteria for use to get CGM?
Yes. So Medicare has finally made their decision that people taking only basal insulin qualify for a CGM, which would be one injection a day. As well as people who have had hypoglycemia in the past, that specific group we feel as people taking sulfonylureas that can cause low glucose levels. Right. So in the past, before this change, people had to be on what we called 2-3 injections a day, right? Making clinical decisions. So they needed basal insulin plus at least 2 mealtime injections. And our notes had to be pretty specific about making treatment decisions, and I think that Medicare stepped back and said, wait a minute, people are having hypoglycemia just on basal alone. People have hypoglycemia on sulfonylureas alone. Why shouldn't they have protection from that? And here we are launching CGM with Medicare patients in a whole new realm.
Yeah, and I want to even take a step back because it's not that long ago where not only did we have the multiple injections per day, but we also had the 4x finger sticks.
Yes.
I mean, really, that was like 2 years ago. It wasn't that long ago.
No.
And that was such a burden. I mean, Medicare didn't even cover 4 test strips a day. So that was like one thing. But it was like you had to earn your CGM. You had to like poke your fingers and go through the pain of that to like earn your right to use CGM. And so when they removed that, that was already like one really huge step forward. And then also at that time, they actually had changed their criteria from injections to administrations, which might sound like a super subtle difference, but we know that that now covers inhaled insulin,
right,
which is like always good as well. So that was great. But of course, the challenge is not everyone is on those multiple administrations a day. And so that leaves a lot of people out that want to use CGM that did not have coverage for it and had to make kind of the decision, well, do I try to pay for it out of pocket myself, which a lot of people can't do,
right?
Or they have to stick with using finger sticks, or what I see, and I'm sure you see in clinic, is people just say, I'm not going to check.
I'm not doing anything.
I'm just not checking. It's
right.
Too hard. And then we know that can be quite dangerous.
It can be dangerous in both high and low glucose, missed high and low glucose levels, right? Yeah, I am very excited about the idea. There is a list in my head immediately when I saw this of people that I know that are struggling with management that will benefit from this change in Medicare.
Yeah, and so it's going to be interesting how this is implemented, because to me, I think a lot of people in the Medicare population on a basal insulin only, or with it could be also be with other non-insulin agents, are managed in primary care clinics. They're not,
yes.
Some of them are managed in endocrinology, but a lot of them are managed in primary care. What does that mean? We need all hands on deck. Like
right.
We need primary care to prescribe the CGMs, to look at the data, to figure out how to get the data, and then do something with the data.
Right.
And I think this presents a real opportunity of, well, how can we help primary care centers to have better processes to do this?
Right.
And make sure everyone's trained so that they understand, okay, well, what do I do with the data? This is a lot different than an A1C and a few finger sticks. Like, I have a lot more information now, so that can be amazing, but also it can be a lot to figure out what
right.
to do with. And so we need to make sure people are trained to know what to do with it.
It can be, that amount of data can be overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is where we have to come in and say, how do we move very quickly, because this is happening now,
mm-hmm.
and really help that process to move along. And it's not just
primary care, it's primary care nurse practitioners, primary care PAs, primary care physicians, primary care embedded pharmacists, primary care across the board. And so I think that it needs, this information needs to be disseminated out into meetings, into clinical journals, into in order to make this happen quickly.
Yeah, and I think taking advantage, like you said, of team-based care, this should not fall on one person to do in their one visit when you're managing other conditions too. But if you can utilize your team members, like if you have a diabetes care and education specialist or pharmacist or nurse, whomever, or dietitians, who perhaps can provide some of the education, the onboarding, reviewing the data. And I think something big to keep in mind is that this is a billable service. So the CGM education has a CPT code, the 95249, the interpretation, which depending on insurance can be billed once a month or every 3 months, but that CPT 95251, there is billing and reimbursement attached to it. So if we can help centers figure out an efficient way to do that, everyone wins. Like the center will get reimbursement for the service, and the person with diabetes ultimately wins because they get an amazing tool to help them manage their diabetes. And then the team, we can use it to even overcome therapeutic inertia because we know suddenly it makes sense. It's like, oh, well, we need to add a drug, or actually there's hypoglycemia. We need to subtract a drug, but it makes just everything more clear.
Right. You and I are probably the two biggest fans of CGM in the nation, and we put it on and use it for as many people
are willing to. Yeah, we do.
Right? But I do believe, you know, where do we start? Right? Where do we start? We had a primary care provider contact us the other day and said, oh, your patient so-and-so loves their Libre 3, and it just happened to be a Libre 3 that day. But I've had same conversations with all the brands, right? Libre 3, how do I do this? And she truly had no idea. And she reached out to our endocrinology department asking. And I think we're going to hear more and more of that as we, because people with diabetes also need a primary care. We don't do their primary care in endocrinology.
Right.
But I don't know that we hear it enough. Because lots of times it's like, oh, someone else does the diabetes, right? Someone else does it, right? So as long as the A1C comes in where they need it to, but we really need all hands on deck.
We do.
We need people to talk about it. Oh, you see so-and-so for your diabetes. How's it going? When's the last time you were there? Tell me what they said, right? To try and engage that patient so that they bridge the care between providers, right?
So this could actually be a really cool opportunity to also increase diabetes education referrals, because when I think about it, so my fear is that people have coverage for CGM, but they won't get it because wherever they get their care isn't experienced with it and won't offer it to them. Well, we have the same situation going on with diabetes education. So I think the statistics from a few years ago are like 5% of Medicare beneficiaries get diabetes education, and it is a covered service. So we could actually pair the education with the CGM. It's like win-win, because the way they get education, they understand how to interpret their numbers and use the device and all that kind of stuff. And then they get all their benefits from their insurance plan.
And I think that clinicians should realize that lots of diabetes care and education specialists are very familiar with CGM.
Yeah.
So you can have that person help the patient, put it on, teach them how to use it, and even download the data and say, talk to me about this.
Right.
Talk to me about what you see. What do I see? What do I change? You know, how do I identify? Does this person need a GLP-1? Does this person need mealtime insulin? Does this person need insulin at their biggest meal? What could we take away? They're dropping overnight. What do we do? You know, all those questions. It doesn't have to be that you have to go to, you know, send to another specialist. A diabetes care and education specialist is a specialist. And technology has become a big focus for education specialists in general.
Yeah.
And some of it can be done even online. It doesn't have to be done face-to-face. There's
for
a lot of opportunity. I know that we have colleagues that say, there isn't one in my state. There isn't an education specialist or there's only two, right? Well, those can be video visits now, right? I mean, the one amazing thing that happened with the pandemic was that video visits are a covered benefit for lots of insurance companies now. And so people that can't access that actually could. And that's exciting to me too. It's like, could we just do a lot of this differently, right? Could we do group classes? Could we do, you know, those kinds of things at the patient level? But the clinician has to be behind it.
Yeah, so I do want to talk about one barrier. So I'm thrilled with like this news and the coverage. Medicare. So Medicare, most yes. Medicare plans cannot be sent to the pharmacy. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a pharmacist and I like pharmacies. We know sending a prescription to the pharmacy generally tends to be easier. It goes yep. there. You just do it through your EHR and it's there and it's great. And Medicare usually has to go through DME, the durable medical equipment route. And we know that requires a whole separate process of sending forms and sending in chart notes and like faxes, like archaic faxes. And so I would love to see that be the next step, that yes. we switch over, that CMS would consider going through the pharmacy route, which I think would really improve accessibility, because the accessibility affects two parts. One is the initial prescription. And instead yes. of sending it to the pharmacy, the person gets it the same day. Usually it is a lengthier process that could take a couple weeks at least, sometimes, right. sometimes longer. But the second issue is reordering supplies. It's not this like, oh, you just send a message, you know, renew the script, send it to the pharmacy. It's like this back and forth, sending faxes, and like how many times have you had it where the company's like, oh, I never got the fax, and we faxed it four times, no one got it, and the person with diabetes is the one that suffers running out of supplies, even though they were proactive and like a week before they were asking for more supplies, it didn't come in time, and they end up without their CGM. And once you've given CGM to a person and then you take it away like
that, it's crushing, yeah. right.
It's right. totally crushing.
Right.
And so that is a major barrier that we face. And I hope like that there's some advocacy that, because I think that would improve outcomes. I know it would for many of my patients.
And I think it would improve access to the majority. You know, I think that is going to be our biggest hurdle in primary care is learning how to order things through a distributor. And you know, I guess the biggest, the message should be, reach out to your local reps and ask them for help. They yeah. usually have a couple that they'll work with that make it as easy yeah. as possible. You know, you and I know about workflow and endocrinology, and we can do them yeah. much more readily. And so we've made it right. into our workflow.
But though. So we're really fortunate. We have reps. We have great. And, yep. and the companies all have sales yes. reps that are wonderful. But when you put this on a big scale, is every single center in the whole U.S. going to be able to access their rep?
Right.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because there
right.
are places, I hear from people, and they're like, I don't know who my rep is.
Right,
so
right.
There's
I don't know.
That
right.
also. And then the fact that each insurance plan, like, may prefer a different company. Like, so whatever. There's definitely challenges there. I mean, overall, the news is great. But, like, we'll
it
have
is.
To figure out that
right.
workflow issue.
And I will say there are a couple of websites. You know, ADCES has Dana Tech.
Yes.
Right? And so Dana Tech, you know, I hadn't visited it until about a year ago. And I was wonderfully surprised at the
yes.
improvement and the so you can put in someone's insurance. I you know, this person's from Michigan and they have Blue Cross Blue Shield PPO, and it will give you this is what the coverage
yeah.
is, this is what you need to do. There's another one called Diabetes Wise
yeah.
that is a Helmsley Trust funded website that we're big fans of as well.
Yeah.
And then finally the Panther website.
The Panther Tools,
yeah. right?
Through Barbara Davis, and they're also
yes.
on Dana Tech. So it's danatech.org, yeah, that has
so
the insurance
yes.
coverage. And then the Diabetes Wise has a Diabetes Wise, like, HCP version,
yep.
which even has, like, how you order. Because
right.
for people new to it, they may not know, like, wait, how many sensors do I need per month? Or
right.
do
what
I need
do?
A transmitter?
Right.
Don't I need a transmitter?
What are the pieces, parts? How do I do
right.
that? Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Those are excellent sites. So I do want to switch gears a little and share another piece of amazing CGM news.
Yes.
And that's about Libre.
The yes.
updates with Libre. So the fact that we just got news last week that Libre now, the vitamin C drug interaction, I guess that there was a warning related to, even though it has iCGM status, which we know stands for integrated CGM, and means it is accurate enough to be integrated with compatible devices, it was not allowed to be used with automated insulin delivery systems because basically of this vitamin C drug interaction. And so that the FDA has removed that, and now the next generation sensor will be able to be used with AID systems. So that would be things like Omnipod 5, like the t-slim x2 control iq, potentially Tidepool Loop, which was recently FDA approved. So That's really cool.
And even connected pens.
Yes.
Right? We don't have to stop at AID. We can do connected pens, which we're expecting more and more of in the next couple of years.
Right.
It's an exciting time.
It really is. And they had some other updates too. So like this new sensor that will have that compatibility is also going to be 15 days. And that's, I mean, it's a minor change going from 14 to 15 days, but it's really good because we usually get 30-day supplies of things. So if you get two sensors, like right now it's 28 days, being able to go 30 days, it just makes it a little bit easier. And then the other big piece of news, which is actually, it's in effect now, we don't even have to wait for the new 15-day sensor, is the pregnancy contraindication has been removed.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Like,
this is,
that's incredible. We first heard that with Dexcom G7, and that's really like the first time CGM has officially been FDA approved to be used in pregnancy. And now we have that with Libre 2 and 3.
We have three options. So we went from a month ago with no options, no FDA approved options, to a month later with three FDA approved options.
So I'm thrilled about this because, of course, I do a lot of management in pregnancy. Yep. And like to think that now we'll actually be able to get it for women with gestational diabetes is really huge. And then in the past, like we've had barriers, like let's say pre-existing type 2 diabetes.
Right.
Because of not having the FDA approval, like we couldn't get it covered and we're having to use just finger sticks. And so this really is awesome. And also just thinking about research too, sometimes it's hard to do. I mean, it just is hard to do research in pregnant women. There's a lot of restrictions, but what made it even harder is if you have a device that's not FDA approved in pregnancy and it's actually contraindicated in pregnancy, it just makes it so much harder. There's a lot of more hoops you have to jump through to do research. So I am hopeful this will allow us to do more research because we really do need to collect more data in pregnancy. We have some pretty good data in type 1 diabetes about like what the metrics are, how to use CGM, but in pre-existing type 2 and then true gestational where it's diagnosed during pregnancy, we really could benefit from more data.
Oh, absolutely. And can we push that, you know, when we look at CGM and time in range for gestationals and type, what is the number, right? We don't know what the ideal number is yet. So, you know, we say from 63 to 140, greater than 70% for people with type 1 diabetes, right? And that's in the ADA guidelines, here we go. And then we get to type 2 non-insulin requiring or type 2 or gestational diabetes, and they just draw a green bar.
Right, there's no recommendation.
With no number, right? There's no recommendation. It's just get it as green as you can get it, right?
Yeah, more green, less red.
More green, less red. Flat, narrow in range. Keep it, you know, and that is a whole other challenge.
It's a challenge.
Where are those numbers and what should they be? Obviously, I'd love every person with diabetes, type 1, type 2, pregnant or not, to have 90% in range. But that's not realistic, right?
Right. And we need to know, like, what's the best goal to have?
What's the goal that will reduce the risk of complications,
right?
Exactly. And that's what we're really looking towards.
Right.
So it's an exciting time. I mean, I wasn't expecting any of this in the last week. And here we are, boom, right?
Yeah. It was just like boom. And we saw the AID announcement and then it was like in the little fine print,
right,
like
by
15
the way,
days pregnancy.
Right.
I'm like,
by the way,
what?
Right, yes.
So
yes.
This is just, it's really groundbreaking. And I think we're just really getting more to that patient person choice. Where it's like, all right, I'm going to pick my CGM, I'm going to pick my insulin, I'm going to pick my pump, I'm going to pick my algorithm. And
I'm going to feel empowered by it. I mean, that's really what we're trying to do. You know, there is this, you know, this circle that sometimes you see at diabetes talks that's like, that's got this, it's a blue circle with this tiny little line in it that says, this is the amount of time you spend with your caregiver, right? Your clinician, your pharmacist, your nurse practitioner, your doctor. And then this is the rest of your life. So if I can give that, empower someone to choose their own devices because they like it because it's pink or it's smaller or it goes on the abdomen or the arm or the leg or wherever, however they get their insulin in, but we've empowered them to do it. Wow, what a difference. And ultimately, hopefully that also improves their outcomes.
Definitely. Well, it's definitely exciting times.
Yes.
Between this Libre announcement and the Medicare announcement, I feel like it's going to be CGM for all.
Yes.
Like instead of insulin for all, but now CGM for all. And then GLP-1 receptor agonist for all.
Right, exactly. And ADA we're not even at ADA, right? Like this, you would have expected these kinds of announcements at an American Diabetes Association meeting, not in a
It's
February.
Only March.
It's March,
It's only
right?
March.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an exciting year. So thanks everyone so much for tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue.